All right, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to be in John this morning. John chapter 16, kind of in that area, verse 21. Is everybody doing okay? Everybody doing good? I'll pep up a little bit. It's me. It's not Sid. It's not the senior pastor. So we don't have to act too spiritual. I hope this comes across good. I mean, I'm not the pastor, and it's Mother's Day, so I really don't want to come across like a Jewish rabbi selling pork chops out of the back of a truck, and it's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. This is not relevant. So we're just going to pray the Holy Spirit's in it, and we're going to let it go. But we are thankful this morning for our moms. We are thankful for our moms. And Dad always jokes, somewhat truthfully, that, you know, Mother's Day, it's all about how wonderful mothers are, and as it should be, like Nick said. And then Father's Day is how scummy we are and how we got to pick it up and do better, you know. He's been listening to sermons for a few years, and that tends to be the case. Maybe we could do a little bit better on encouraging dads, but we can't encourage moms enough. We can't encourage moms enough in what they do, So it's interesting, I was thinking about just the wide range, just in our small church, the wide range of mothers that we have. We have everything from mothers-to-be to grandmothers. You know, it's a wide range of that amazing feat of motherhood that's represented in just our small church that we have here. And you think of the different phases of that walk and what that looks like for those different phases and how it changes, you know, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to think about. It's a blessing. And obviously, you know, I'm like, okay, so we got to do Mother's Day. So what do I do? What do I do about Mother's Day? I'm not a mother. I'm a father, but I have a mother, and I have a mother of my children, and so I'm watching them. How can I, you know, bring something this morning? And childbirth is obviously the thing. That's that struggle. Now, I know, and again, hear me, I've never been pregnant, but for 9 months, you're going through a struggle, but then you have this birthing experience. Jesus addresses that in this, it's kind of a parable, but it's what he's doing in John chapter 16, just to put a little context, he's kind of telling disciples, you know, I'm going to be gone in a little bit. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to come back for a second. It's interesting how, I mean, I'm going to come back and then I'm going to be gone again. And you're not going to see me. And it's going to be difficult. But in the end, it's going to be okay, is what he's telling them. And he uses the illustration in verse 21 of chapter 16. He says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. And then he goes on, he says, so you see, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. So to me, Mother's Day is one of those just like, it's a touchy one. It's a very complex celebration. And I can't even touch on what that means for everybody in this room. But, I mean, it can mean so many things. You may have lost your mother. You may have be a mother and you have lost children. There are so many angles on this thing that I couldn't begin to address it. For us just to come in and say, happy Mother's Day, here's your flower, everything should be perfect in your life. That's not what we're saying. We're honoring mothers. We're honoring that struggle and that actually, I mean, it's a heavenly assignment that people are given. And then you have some ladies aren't able to have children, and God didn't call them to walk that path. And then what that brings and the complexity of all that. There's so many ways you could address this and so many difficult avenues you could go down. And I'm not here to fix any of that, but it's one of those days where what kind of service, what kind of message do you bring on Mother's Day? So, let's go back to the childbirth. So, I've been privileged to watch this 3 times in my life. And what the Lord says, Jesus says, is absolutely true. I have watched this three times in my life with my three children being born. I have watched Cami give birth to these children, and it's this process, painful process, the second they're born. And if you've been in the room and you've watched your wife or you've watched someone give birth, the second they're born, the countenance on her face is the most angelic countenance you'll ever see. As they bring this little snot-covered, wrapped-up, little pink and blue creature up to her and lay him on her chest, and she kisses that head for the first time, the heck that she just went through to get that child there is gone. It is gone. She has no clue. Because the only thing that matters in that moment is that this child that I have carried for 9 months is here. It's here. It's here. I've done this thing, and it's a beautiful, amazing thing to behold. And, you know, Jesus obviously knows very well. He created the whole thing. He was there. You know, Eve in Hebrew is commonly believed to mean living one or source of life. That's where that name comes from, because Eve was the mother of all creation. She was that source of life. You know, so we look at this life that mothers bring, that they have inside of them. So I've obviously, since I have three children, been around. If you heard women talk about their children, if you've heard talk about their process, what all happened, you know, they rarely talk about the pain. You rarely hear that pain being talked about. You rarely hear them go into, you know, this and that. And you know, they may mention it just a little bit. They may say, you know, I had an epidural or I didn't. They may say, oh, I had it at home or at the hospital. You know, they have those general conversations. But just the from a spectator, the excruciating process of having a child is not part of the conversation, generally. What they start talking about is the child. You always hear the weight and the height and the time of day. I even know to ask these things as a guy. Marvin sent me a text. They had had, I think his name is Easton. They had had Easton. So I am trained to say, how much did he weigh? How tall is he? And what time was he born? I know to ask those things. Those are important things. And those are things that mothers remember for the rest of their life. Cami can tell you all the times that all our children were born, how much they weighed, all that stuff. I just know generally I was there, and it was in the afternoon. That's what I remember. And I usually remember the day. The year gets me sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is. They're talking about their hair, their eyes. Are they chubby? Are they, you know, talking about the child. They're talking about what came from this pain. I've never heard a mother say, you know, if I realized how sick I was going to be in the first trimester, then I would never have brought Junior into this world. I've never heard that. Never heard that, you know? Yeah, I was sick or whatever. Yeah, I was sick during this one, but yeah, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Why not? Why do they forget the pain and why do they forget the discomfort? Me as a guy can only imagine it's because the result outweighs the sacrifice. The result outweighs the sacrifice. Because you have life inside of you, it outweighs it. Now let's get a little more general. We all have been given something to share with the world. When that person or that truth or whatever it is comes forth, you aren't concerned with the pain, just the awe of the fact that you're part of something amazing. So, let's talk about all of us now. Let's talk about this life that we have in all of us. If you're a believer, you have something inside of you. And God's going to release this thing in different ways over different times. And there's going to be times that you need to release it in this way. There's going to be times, Marty, you need to release it in Honduras. And there's going to be times that you need to release it in Buchanan or Bremen. There's going to be times that it looks like building a house, or it looks like handing somebody a check, or it looks like praying for somebody. Like, I mean, praying for somebody. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and more emotional. Like, when I pray for people now, it's like, it seems like it hits a little bit deeper. I don't know. And I've asked for that, you know. Break my heart for what breaks yours, God. I want to break my heart for what breaks your heart. You know, that's what we should, you know, when we see pain, we see suffering, we see whatever, it should break our heart just like it breaks the Father's heart. And so, you know, it comes out in different ways. You have to ask yourself, and we're going to kind of compare this to the whole pregnancy process. God is going to plant something inside of you. Something's going to build and grow inside of you. And he has a time he wants you to release that. It may be starting a ministry. It may be, you know, getting into talking to this person. You know, first time you meet somebody, you don't have to tell them, hey, you're going to hell unless, you accept Jesus and all that. That's not necessarily how God wants you to do everything. He wants us to spread the good news, but he wants you to do it in his time with his love and his compassion and with his hand on it. You know, because we can try to do what God wants us to do a way that God doesn't want us to do it. Well, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. Yeah, but I want you to do it this way. I want you to do it a certain way. I want this thing to grow inside of you. I want this to come about from you in its time. And then it'll be developed properly. Because if it comes too soon, it's not properly developed. If it doesn't come soon enough, then it gets very difficult. We're not all mothers, of course. Like I said earlier, not all women are called to be mothers in the same, you know, in the sense of giving birth to a child. But we are all carrying life inside of us. We are called to be, called to give birth to that life. You know, a woman is pregnant for hopefully 9 months. There's a time to carry and a time to bring forth. And that's just the gist of what I want to say this morning. I'll add a little bit to it, but I told the guy at the worship team this morning, I said, I don't have this like just huge, deep thing to say this morning. But I think we all just need to understand that we're all carrying something inside of us. God wants us to carry different things. We all have different struggles, joys, challenges. We have different times of peace, different times of conflicts. Our walk looks a lot different. But there is one common denominator, and that is that we are carrying something. And for the good of the kingdom, we must bring it to the table. Because we all, everybody in this room, and see, Satan is so good at this. Satan is so good at telling you and getting in your ear and saying you've got nothing to contribute. That is his specialty. That is, see, because you're a child of the king, so he can't kill you. Okay? You know, Satan had to have God's permission to mess with Job. You're untouchable in the fact that you're covered in the blood of God. You are covered in the blood of our wonderful Savior. You are in His family. But so what He can do is He can take you out of the game. And see, He is so good. He is so good. He is so good at trying to minimize you and what you can do for the kingdom. He does it to me all the time. And, you know, you can from the outside look, well, James, you lead worship and, you know, bring a word every once in a while. And, you know, he can do it to anybody. He can say what you have is not good enough. What you have is not beneficial. You know, he can come at you in so many ways. But if we do not bring that thing forth, then the kingdom doesn't get where the kingdom's supposed to be. In this house, if we don't all contribute the way that we're supposed to contribute, then this house is not where it's supposed to be. In our business, if we don't all do what we're supposed to do, if we don't all put the hole in the right spot and cut the bar in the right place, and if we all don't do what we're supposed to do, then we don't make a product. We don't do what we're called to do. And so, in our business... That's not an example, it's not written down, but There's some insignificant things that seem extremely insignificant. You would think a cardboard box would be a very insignificant thing. It's a cardboard box. We make handlebars. We're making steel and polishing it and painting it. I mean, cardboard box, it's a cardboard box. A cardboard box can shut us down. It can absolutely shut us down. It seems like it's an insignificant part, but if I don't have a cardboard box, I can't ship my product. And that's stopping the whole thing. Because you think, oh, I'm just a cardboard box. I'm just a whatever. You take that one thing out and you don't fulfill that thing that God's called you to fulfill, it shuts the whole thing down. Now, can we try to do something else and wrap them in something and get some different boxes? Yeah, we can get around and God will get around and God will make a way if you just decide to shut down completely. But there's a way it's supposed to operate. There's a way we're supposed to walk through this, and there's a way that our product is supposed to be received. Product. And if we don't do our part, if we let Satan shut us down and say, well, you know, you really don't have that life inside of you, we need to be offended by that. Because what he's telling you is that God didn't make you in his image. He's telling you that God messed up when he made you. I may mess up, but you don't tell me my God messed up. Don't tell me my God messed up, because my God doesn't mess up. Now, I may not understand my God. My God may not make sense all the time to me. I may get mad at my God. But let me tell you something. You don't tell me my God made a mistake. We should be offended when that voice from Satan comes in and tells us that you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. We should be offended. That should light a match under your tail and say, you know what? Oh, no. You said the wrong thing. Because I have life inside of me. I have something to offer this world. I have something to contribute to this kingdom. And that's what I'm going to do. So we have this choice, I guess you could say. It's this choice. So I'm telling you right now, you got something inside of you that needs to come out. And it's not just one time. This is a daily, hourly, weekly. There's always something. God's always putting something in us that needs to come out. There's something always coming to term inside of us that needs to come out. We can fight for that. We can sit back and let nothing happen. Or we can end it. We can end it. Right now, Roe v. Wade is going back through the Supreme Court, and it looks like, praise the Lord, that this thing is going to be overturned. But what's the whole point? It's so that women have the authority to end the life of a child. And we obviously staunchly fight against that, because we know the Word says that in your mother's womb I knew you. But we're offended by that as Christians. Like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, why does this happen? Why would someone do this to their child? They didn't want it. It's too expensive. They won't have help. There's too much commitment. It will alter my life. All these things are things that we pray that women won't use to end their child's life, but many times we use the same excuses to end the life that we carry inside of us. Because I can use every one of those excuses when God tells me to go minister to somebody. I can say, well, I didn't really want to do that. It's too expensive for me to do that. It costs me something. I won't have any help. I mean, I'm the only person that'll do this ministry. Nobody will help me. I'll be doing it by myself. I don't want to do something if I'm stuck doing it by myself. I won't have help. I mean, there's women in this world who are pregnant with a child that know, I will have no help. The dad's gone, and they feel stuck, and they feel like, I don't know what to do. Because they don't feel like they have an alternative to it, and they don't feel like they can raise a child. And God puts this thing inside of you, and you feel like, I can't do this. I can't bring this to term. I will be by myself. I won't have any help. I won't have what I need to make this thing happen. It's too much commitment for me. I don't want to commit to something that much. I mean, you know, committing to a child is the rest of your life. It's the rest of your life. It will alter my life. If I do this thing that God asked me to do, you know, I have to change the way I live. Man, I'll have to do something different. I'll have to do something I don't want to do. I'll have to, you know, I'm going to have to go to wherever and do whatever. So, not to make this political, but we as a church should be active in certain things. Are you pro-choice or are you pro-life when it comes to God's will in your life? There are people right now that are protesting and would burn the houses down of Supreme Court justices if they could, because they want to have the right to make a choice, and that's how they would say it. They want to be able to make a choice, and they would end it there. They want to be able to make a choice. Obviously, we believe that it's not their choice to make at this point, but they would go to the ends of the earth. They would probably kill them if they could. There are certain sects of them that if they could kill one of these Supreme Court justices, they would do it. Because they're so bent on having a choice. They so are bent on being able to choose what they want. And I do the same thing in the kingdom with God so many times. God, I want to choose what I want. I want to choose how you're going to bless me. I want to choose how you're going to show up. I want to choose where you're going to be, how you're going to be there. I want to choose all these things. So I come out just like them. God's pro-life. God has life inside of you, and He wants it to come out. He wants it to come out. So am I more concerned about the life that I want to come out or my choice to deny that life? And so many times that's what I do. I want to choose. No, God, I want a choice. No, God, I don't like how that happened. That makes me mad. That makes me upset. Well, this church has walked through stuff. This community has walked through stuff. Every individual in this house has walked through stuff that if you could have chose something different, you would have absolutely chose something different. And that's okay. But in the end of the day, you say, you know what? Not my will be done, but yours. How do we get there? You know? It's all about who we want in control and who we trust. Do we trust Him? Do I trust His plan? Do I trust His outcome? Do I trust His struggles? The last verse in chapter 16, He's told them that you guys are going to be scattered. You know, after I'm gone, He's kind of shooting to them straight. He's like, you guys are going to go all over the place. You're going to return to your own home. You guys are going to have to figure some stuff out. And in verse 33 is a very, very commonly preached on thing. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. If anybody ever tells you that if you're a good Christian, you won't go through a troubling time, they have not read the Word of God. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. If they come up and tell you, well, you're struggling with something because, you know, you're just, you know, you haven't done what God told you to do right. I promise you, there are people and religious people in this world today that put that aura out that, you know, well, if you just do everything the way God wants you to do, man, I just get up and I pray for 3 hours every morning, then I worship God, and then I go feed the homeless, and then I do all this, and they list this litany of how good they are and how great their life is and how perfect everything is. And if your life is not perfect like mine, then, you know, you're just obviously not doing something right. Guess what? It says in red letters. Know what that means? That means Jesus said it. John didn't say it. Matthew didn't say it. Paul didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, you will have troubles. He didn't say, I want you to have troubles. I'm excited about you having troubles. I'm going to give you troubles. It didn't say any of that. He says, you will have troubles. You will have troubles. But take heart. But take, one of the biggest buts in the word is right there, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Because all we're experiencing right now is the world, because that's where we're at. I'm in flesh and bone right now. I'm experiencing the world. There's a whole nother dimension that we can taste every once in a while, but we don't live in it. This world that we're living in, he's overcome. That's all on his struggles. Do you trust him through your struggles? It's easy to trust him in our victories. A lot of times in our victories, we forget about him. We blame our troubles on God and our victories are on us. Man, I worked hard and made that happen. Or wow, this is great because I'm great or whatever it is we decide. So we're real quick to blame God and real quick to take credit ourselves. And some of us, again, everybody's different. See, we want the results. We want the results. We want that child. We want that life to come forth. But we just don't like the pain that it takes to get there. It's like I told them in the side room, I was just kind of giving an overview of real quick what we're going to talk about is, you know, I have this dream of being a fit person. I do. I mean, every day, me and Cammie, I tell Cammie every day, all right, this is the last day I'm going to get fit. This is it. This is the last donut I'm ever going to eat in my life. This is it. I'm going to exercise in the morning. I'm going to run in the afternoons. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to be the best fit person I could possibly be. Probably have that conversation with her every 2 or 3 days. She's like, yeah, do it. Yes, do it. Because I like the idea. I like the idea of being able to go up to a 14,000-foot mountain in Colorado and climbing it and not dying. I like that idea. But right now, I've got to like the idea of running up those steps twice without getting winded. That's where I'm at. But I got to keep running up those steps. I got to keep walking. I got to keep running. I got to do something that I'm not doing right now, which is called going through pain, going through suffering, stretching myself, denying myself of things that I want, those donuts and ice cream, and I could go on. But I want to be fit, but I don't want to give up. And that's just not how it works. We want this powerful testimony that we consider powerful. But gosh, I don't want to walk through it. I mean, gosh, have you? The things that just the people in this room have walked through. I don't want to walk through everything that you guys have walked through. No. But what powerful testimonies sit in this small room with this small group of people. The power of the testimonies from this wall to this wall, unbelievable. We could spend weeks here, people coming up, and us just sharing testimony after testimony after testimony of the trials that we have been through. I told Malin the other day, they went to Universal. They did the grad bash thing. So you get on a bus at 7 in the morning, you drive to Orlando, you get off the bus, you stay in the park till whatever time, 2 a.m., you get back on the bus and you drive back home. It's supposed to be this fun thing that only young people would enjoy at that pace. And her trip went nuts. I'm not even going to tell the story, but it was like she's telling us this story, and it's like it was not fun. She did not have a good time. She had a lot of stuff happen that just delayed her getting to have fun. And it's a funny story, but maybe when she preaches next time, she can tell you this story. But I told her, I said, well, Madeline, if it had gone, I said, this is a hilarious story. I said, you're going to remember this story forever because it's really funny. I said, if you'd gone down there and rode a bunch of roller coasters and you had a good time, you would have had a good time, but nobody else would have enjoyed it. I mean, like, okay, cool, you had fun. Okay, Harry Potter was fun. Okay, cool. I wouldn't remember that. Did Madeline have fun? Yeah, I think she had fun. Yeah, she had a good time. Now, if you ask me about Madeline's grad bash, I'm like, this is hilarious. Let me tell you what happened. This is so funny. Because that testimony comes through trial. Those stories that are worth telling come through trial. Not saying that if everything goes smooth, it's not a testimony, because it is as well. But those trials and those difficulties, those very painful things that we walk through, those are the things that speak to people's hearts. Those are the things that people remember. So, this thing. Yeah, sorry. keeps going off. I guess I'm walking around too much. So press through where you are. Say yes to him. He will walk through every dark hour and you will come out on the other side. And when you see what God has done with your yes, you will forget all the pain. You know, Jesus was talking about him being killed, raising from the dead, the ultimate return to the Father. All that stuff is what he was talking about. And he said they had trials, but he has overcome. So that's the gist of what I wanted to say this morning. I'm not going to keep us too long. I will tell you this, to wrap it back up with moms. You know, I said we got them from every aspect. Every part of motherhood, from my outside looking in, and I think fatherhood's going to follow the same. It's a little bit different. Every part of life, and this is true across the board, but let's just talk about our moms this morning. You know, when they're babies, you have a certain struggle when they're children, when they're little babies. The struggle of sleep was the main one that we had. Just getting some sleep and, you know, are they sick? They can't talk to you. They just, you know. And then they start running around, and that's a different struggle. Because they can now tear stuff up, burn the house down. I mean, they can get into stuff when they're mobile. It's a big difference when they're not mobile. You lay them there, you walk away, and they're still there. That's one thing. But when you lay them there and you walk away and then you can't find them anymore, that's a problem. That's a new struggle that you didn't have before, that you didn't understand before, especially when your first one. You didn't understand that struggle. Like, oh my gosh, they can go somewhere. Oh, they can climb the stairs. Oh, wow, they can slide down the back. Oh my goodness, wow. It's a different set of struggles. And then they get in school. And they're like, you heard what? What did Jimmy say? What? It's a whole other set of struggles. And then they go to middle school. Oh, gosh. Lord help you if you've got one in middle school. Then high school. Then they're driving. We're kind of in the middle of this thing right now. You know, I've kind of got them about to drive and one about to get married. So we're kind of in the middle. And I watch Cami as she's my example because she's in front of me every day and she does a fantastic job. She has had to change with every season how she mothers our children. Because if she still mothered them now the way she did when they were infants, it would be a little weird. Be a little strange. If she's trying to change Isaac's diaper right now, be a little weird. It's just, we got to change. We got to move to that next phase, that next set of struggles. And if you think you're getting to a place in life where there's not going to be a struggle, again, I would reference the good book here. The good book says that you're going to have them. And there's no time period on that. It's not, you're not going to have them until you're 45, or you're not going to have them after you're 65. When you retire, everything's going to be great. No. Struggles are part of the human existence. It's part of the sin curse. Amen. It's part of it. It wasn't God. God didn't want that. Adam and Eve chose that, and don't think you wouldn't have chose the same thing. Because I would have. Especially if it was a donut tree that they pulled them off of. I'd have eaten that sucker. So moms, I encourage you this morning, dads, wherever you're at in life, he's going to be there. He's walking with you through it. You know, we sing that, even when I don't see him, even when I don't feel him, even when I don't feel like he's there, even when I'm going through something I don't understand, even when the pain is too much and I'm mad at God and I may even tell him how mad I am at him and I may try to walk away from him, he's still there. He's still there because he tells us in the end of this verse, I have overcome the world. I have overcome. You know what he's saying? I've overcome every struggle that you could possibly go through. The Heavenly Father watched a child die. There's mothers who have lost children. I cannot imagine that. But he is there. I promise you he's there. He is there. And he loves you. And somebody in this room needs to hear that you're doing a good job. There's a mom in this room that needs to hear you're doing an amazing, amazing job. It's not a hard job. It's a hard job. It's a thankless job a lot of times. I know on Mother's Day we give you a flower, and I hope that lasts you all year, but you need more than that. I don't know why I thought of this. I think I've referenced this before when I've spoke. If you're a regular attender, you'd hear me say it. We came up on a wreck, and I think we were in New Mexico several years ago. And a family had wrecked, and me and Cammie got out. Cammie got this little baby. She was holding this baby the whole time. Unfortunately, the little baby's mama died in the wreck. But there was another family there, and it was four boys. It was a pretty good little family. They were all a little bit older, you know, kind of teenagerish. But we were just trying to help. I helped get them all. We were out in the boonies in New Mexico. I'm telling you, it took forever for people to get there. It was just one of those things. But they were loading all these kids in the ambulance, and they had two or three of them in one because they didn't have many ambulances out in the rural area that we were in. But the mom, I'll never forget the mom's face, because I had had the opportunity to pray with them and stuff, so they had talked to me a little bit, you know, so they were talking to me. And how did she say it to me? She said something, because she was getting in the back, and I was helping them get her son in there, and she says, "I hope I didn't let y'all down," or something to that. Because she was trying to take care of her boys. I mean, they're all laid out on the side of the road. I mean, we're trying to get them to be, you know. Nobody was, thankfully, on theirs wasn't seriously injured, but they're all shook up, banged up, scraped up. And I looked at her and I said, "Mama, you did a good job. You did what you were supposed to do." And she started crying. And they shut the ambulance and never saw her again. Mama, in this room this morning, you're doing a good job. It's tough. But as long as you love that child, oh, you're not going to be perfect. Oh, no. God doesn't think you're going to be perfect. But you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. If you're loving that child, and you're doing a good job. So that's from the Father. So I'm not going to add anything to it. That's all I had to say this morning. That's all I had to say. I do pray that none of you are going to try to go to Cracker Barrel right now. That would be a huge mistake. Not that we haven't tried to do that. We figured this thing out. We took Mom and Kathy out Friday night, had a nice meal. Last year we ended up, we're like, "All right, everybody go find food somewhere, we'll eat at Mom's house." It was a mess. But if you're in that boat and y'all gotta go out to eat, God bless you. And we need to pray a special prayer over you if you're going to Cracker Barrel. Take a snack. Yeah. So sometimes honoring Mom and not her having to wait for 3 hours to eat is not the best idea. So anyway, y'all stand to your feet. I'm just gonna pray us out of here. Man, I got us out of here before 12 o'clock. That was my goal, Brett. I'm like, I'm gonna get everybody up before 12, so if they are going to Ryan's or whatever, they can get there. Is there still Ryan's around here? Western Sizzler? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for this morning. We thank you that you love us, God. We thank you. We thank you for the mothers in our lives, God. We thank you for their role. They're, gosh, such an important piece of this puzzle that they are, God. And we just thank you so much for them, God. We thank you so much, God, for the fact that we all have life inside of us, Heavenly Father. That this is not just for mothers, this is for all of us, that we have something inside of us that needs to be brought out, Heavenly Father. And I just pray right now that you download in us what we need to have, God, and I pray that we bring that thing forth at a time. God, I pray that we take care of that thing, and God, I just pray that you're with us in every step, Heavenly Father. We just thank you so much for your loving kindness in our lives, God. Lord, I thank you that you're faithful. I thank you that you are there through those troubles, through those difficult times, God, through those things that we don't understand, God. You are there. You walk with us, Heavenly Father. Even when I try to get away from you, even when I try to avoid you, Heavenly Father, you are step to step to step with me. I thank you for that, God. Lord, I just pray for this afternoon. I pray that everybody has a wonderful afternoon. God, I pray for this week. Heavenly Father, I pray that we go forth this week, God, and we are the salt of the earth that we are called to be, God. I pray that we don't just come in here on Sunday, few songs, God, and leave it there, God. I pray that we don't just come in here and hear your word and not apply it to our lives, Heavenly Father. I pray that we never do that. I pray that we always take what you're speaking to to us individually through the Holy Spirit, God. I pray that we do something with that every time we get it, Heavenly Father. So I pray this week that we spread life to someone, God, that we love someone better this week, God. So much. Thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for our mothers. And we just pray we go out and do your work. It's in your Son's holy and precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name that sets all of us captives free, God. The name that allows me to have anything good inside of me. The name who broke and tore every wrong thing out of my life and covered it with his blood, the name of Jesus, God, that is what we address you through this morning, God. And we thank you so much for that blood. We thank you so much for your love. And just be with us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.